Famed ornithologist Professor Erika Finkel telephoned me around 4 a.m. In a state of agitation, she muttered and yelped her way through a proposal for a project that had apparently kept her awake all night. Outside, the dawn chorus was breaking through the silence of nighttime like the bubbles of a drowning man on top of the water, whilst Professor Finkel, speaking at hyperspeed so I caught only every second or third word of her increasingly convoluted narrative, persisted into the darkness. Beep, beep! In my bedroom, the computer teases me to wake. An inbox alert. You have one new message. Early to receive an email. Of course, it's Professor Erika Finkel.
From Professor Erika Finkel to Ergo Business. I trust you slept well. Please keep this information quiet on your Twitter stream. What they steal from the birds, we are stealing back. I am as ever, tweet, tweet. Further to our telephone conversation of this morning.
It was all coming back to me. I'd forgotten almost everything Professor Finkel had said to me, but slowly the information was being conveyed, as if through loops and cycles that were embedded somewhere deep in my brain.
I have made some structural drawings to indicate the matter of ornithological operas. You will find the files attached.
I did not find the files attached. Still, this is Professor Finkel, and really I've come to expect such absent-mindedness.
When you look or you don't look at the files, you will see or not see what I mean. The principle is the loop, or the loop and variation. I have discovered that birds inherently do not like the medium of opera, considering it a pale imitation of the way in which they quite naturally exist.
My mind was taken back to the telephone conversation of the early morning. Suddenly the dawn chorus in my memory became the march from Aida, and I began to understand where Professor Finkel was coming from. I left the email alone for now and stepped outside the back door. At the back of my garden is a large elm tree. I climbed into the branches and eventually to the top of the beast where I perched. There were two things on my mind, storytelling slash narrative and opera. The gist of Professor Finkel's ideas was, to put in the simplest possible terms, that opera is a medium invented by birds which can only reach its apex as an art form if it is created expressly for the birds. I took my trusty penknife from my pocket and began to carve into the bark of the tree.
The players, opera O, narrative N, communication C, music M. If C equals N, let us call it CN. Then does O equal N plus CN? Let us continue and add birdsong, B. If we accept that O equals M plus CN, and we know that B equals M plus CN, then clearly B equals zero.
A text message from Professor Finkel arrives on my mobile telephone. Beep, beep!
You are correct. B equals O. So you prove mathematically that opera and birdsong are the same NTT. Give yourself a medal, but the prop is message incomplete.
I waited for the rest of the message to arrive. Tapped my finger on my knee. A sparrow sprang into the tree, caught a glimpse of me, flew away. My mobile telephone beeped again. Beep, beep!
How to find proof for this structural source of opera, to steal it from Verdi and return it to the feathered friends from whence it came. The proof is in the pudding is in the loop is the key is in the door.
I clambered down from the branches and Professor Finkel was correct, the key was in the door. Attached to the handle end of the key was a laminated ring of sheet music. I went back in the house and poured myself some breakfast cereal. The issue is then, as far as I can glean from Professor Finkel's communications, that opera is a format invented and perfected by birds, taken and modified by human beings. Professor Finkel believes that the hour is ripe for the humans to return the favour and begin to create operas, particularly for the enjoyment and consumption of birds. A paper aeroplane flew in from the open window and landed in my cornflakes. The aeroplane was covered in text. Looking from above at each of the wings, it read,
time is less of an issue for our feathered friends than it is for human composers of
Immediately, I proceeded to unfold the paper aeroplane. Inside was more text, scrawled in a childish, almost idiotic hand.
The communication of a narrative across time is a uniquely human trait. a simplistic solution to a complex question, the passing on of information. Mankind thoughtlessly decided that stories ought to be linear. This is misguided way of thinking. When man stole opera from the birds, he stole only the style and omitted the substance. That is to say, the true value of opera lies not in its capacity to tell stories through music, but in its ability, when formed correctly in the manner of the birds, to express many stories simultaneously through cycles, loops, themes, repetitions and variations.
I folded the document back into paper aeroplane form and walked back into the garden. Convinced something cataclysmic was about to occur, I threw the paper aeroplane upwards into the sky, anticipating the inevitable take-up that would transform the dreams of mankind and the history of opera simultaneously. Instead, it simply landed in the drain next to bits of chicken that had obviously been pushed down the kitchen plug hole the night before. Disappointed, I returned to my cornflakes. I took out my penknife and carved into the kitchen table.
The transmission of information from spectator S to recipient R. If communication C begins with what we understand to be music, M, then C equals M in a fundamental sense. If C equals M, that is to say, if communication and music are different terms for the same thing, then all transmission of information from S to R has its root what we have come to know as opera O, an invention of birds.
This is all very well, but I was running out of space on the table. My eyes turned to the cornflakes box. The crowing chicken on the front of it reminded me of the paper aeroplane sitting in the drain, with bits of chicken from last night. I felt no remorse for the aeroplane. It was in good company. I turned the box of cornflakes around and read the back of it.
Free gift. Professor Finkel's problem. The source of opera comes from birds, who have the capacity to convey complex messages in an entirely non-narrative fashion. Professor Eric Finkel aims to understand how a story can be communicated through the combination of music, repetition and... Sorry, I can't say.
I slunk my hand deep into the bag inside the box of cornflakes, and through the whirls of forms that crinkled around my hand, I pulled out the free gift. Encased in a small, transparent plastic bag was a tiny plastic disc emblazoned with the words,
"Message for us."
I examined it. A small peephole. Inside the disc I saw a bird washing itself in a white cereal bowl in my garden. The bird noticed me, gave me an admonishing look for peeping, then spoke to me in a language I didn't quite understand, but will attempt to relay the meaning from the bird as I understood it. If your narrative is X, and my narrative is Y, X travels sideways, and Y travels frontways, inwards, into eternity, into meanings, rather than along meanings. That is to say, that your narrative X skirts alongside meanings, rather than, like my narrative Y, delving into meanings, headlong, frontways, like a kamikaze bird. Your opera, X-O, is different from my opera, Y-O, because your opera, X-O, relays a series of events, but my opera, Y-O, is the event itself, and in my opera, Y-O, all stories are contained. A knock on the door, and I'm suddenly snapped out of this conversation with a bird. I leave him to his bath. I go to the door. It's the postman, who hands me a letter. I recognise Professor Finkel's handwriting. I open the letter and disappear.